Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Well, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. It is the second and final hour of the show, and every Wednesday we do this thing called Entrepreneurship and Small Business, a very important segment of this particular show and this radio station as well. So thank you so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you. We started at 6 p.m., and it's time for us now to get into this important segment, as I mentioned, of entrepreneurship. And today, we're speaking to Zweli Mqhayi about his business, and he's going to be telling us a little bit about the lessons that he's learned. I know that entrepreneurship is a very, very tough journey. A lot of people have, confessed that it is not for the faint-hearted, like some of us, right? So he's going to be telling us a little bit about the lessons that he's learned along the journey, as well as he tells us a little bit about career moves with a Z there. And he's joining us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you and your listeners.
How are you?
We are doing well, fantastic this side, and we're ready to, share a bit of ourselves to you guys.
Look at that.
We're hoping that it's well received.
Fantastic. I think we should just end this conversation because you are ready for this. Eh? There's no point in getting to it. but I'm glad you sound on top of the world, my brother. So a few dollars have been made, I suppose.
I mean, over time, things
over time, right?
Over time.
No, thank you, my brother, for taking the time. We really, really appreciate you, and yeah, we hope that a little bit of here and there, we shall certainly get to the dollars that we want to make at the end of the day. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into your business? Then, Ubuzweli Ubani.
Uzweli Mqhayi is a psychometrist currently, but he was raised in Pretoria, although his family is from Eastern Cape.
Okay.
So I was raised in a single-headed household with my mom, Ms. Naledi Mqhayi, and she is a clinical psychologist. So health care in a sense runs in the family. So that's a bit about me. I don't know, man. there's not much to it. I feel I'm a simple guy, and career moves is my baby. I think I have a lot more to say about career moves.
I just think you are just being modest there, but nothing wrong with being modest. That's also fine. Which part of Pretoria? It's a big city.
Yes. So my mother was working in Garankuwa at the time because she was studying at Sefako Makgotla, which was Medunsa,
back then.
So I started there, and then slowly but surely over time, as we explained, she managed to get herself into Pretoria North. A small little suburb there called Amandasig. And then surely over time, then I ended up in Centurion with her and went to Crawford College. But even before then, I was in Drakensberg Boys Choir School, which was in KZN. And that sums up where I've grown up.
Fantastic. That's really great. And so you're a bit of a gassy boy and a little bit of, swimming in the burp somewhere there. So you're a full package, no one can tell you anything.
Yeah, blending between the two, I think it's great to have life experience from, all walks of life. And it really humbled me over time to know that, everything takes time and work and effort.
Definitely.
And so I'm blessed to be who I am today because of such experiences.
No, definitely. I agree 100%. Nothing wrong with those experiences. In fact, they color our lives. So I don't believe there's anything that happens for no reason in this world. And so this one is one as well. Okay, definitely. Career moves. Let's talk about that one. What do you guys do there?
So we are a psychometric testing service,
Okay.
and essentially we deal with education. That's the main aspect of our business. So whether it's
Okay.
providing educational assessment reports to parents or schools that require their children to be assisted in terms of identifying barriers to learning or
Okay.
just to help them improve their academic success.
Yeah.
And then we have the career aspect where we deal with essentially those who are, let's say, from 18 years and above who are
Yeah.
looking at their career prospects.
Yeah.
So the first step then would be helping them in identifying their interests so that we can see a suitable career for them. And then even in the career, we do help companies with job placement in terms of selection requirements that they want. So we look then at an individual's personality, interests, their values and ethics to be able to fit them into, a good and suitable job role. So
Yeah.
we're quite, we have a lot of services, and so we deal with a lot of individuals, whether they're young or old, and
Yeah. Okay, that's quite interesting. What is the demand for this type of a product? Because I'm thinking about myself a couple of, well, not even a couple, many, many moons ago, we didn't have this type of service, or at least it wasn't as big as it sounds like it is today. And we've had to, I suppose, maneuver making career decisions without really knowing, having taken any objective test like a psychometric, because I think those are really needed in this particular world that we live in.
So it's a funny story because for me to start a business was because I found that as a psychometrist, usually you are looking for a job,
Yeah.
and therefore, working in an organization, and you're waiting for a payslip at the
Yeah,
end.
yeah.
And generally, I don't know if my numbers are off, but generally you'd expect to earn an entry-level income from,
Yeah,
10K and
yeah,
then there. So for me to start the business was because I noticed different ways that these organizations are helping people, and then I wanted to be able to, provide value and assist in the demand of these assessments. So when you're looking for the job, they are available, but most people don't tend to be happy with the income. However,
Yeah.
when you look at it from the perspective of a business, then
Yeah.
you'll find that there are actually many opportunities within psychometry because we also render our services to other, let me say, colleagues or
Yeah.
practitioners, which
Yeah.
would then be psychologists, whether it's clinical psychologists, educational psychologists, or industrial psychologists. So
Okay.
that's how then the services are able to be,
Yeah.
widespread.
Yeah. Okay. And when did the business really start? And was this what you've always wanted to do from a young age?
So the business started in 2021, but
Okay.
the goal was to become a clinical psychologist.
Okay.
Not many people know actually how difficult it is to achieve that qualification. So if I give my background, I studied my undergraduate degree in psychology,
Yeah.
which was a BA degree at the University of Pretoria.
Yeah.
And then I moved on after 3 years to then study my honorary degree
Yeah.
at University of Witwatersrand,
Yeah.
which was in psychology. And then I did my course in psychometry, which is a BPsych equivalent degree at the University of Johannesburg. So for me to do that last step, where from my honors into the psychometry degree, was because I wasn't able to get into my master's
Sure,
qualification.
sure.
Yes, so they actually only accept 8 people a year from,
Yo.
I think it's even 5 institutions currently. So
Yo.
the space is very limited. And then, of course, they look at different things that
Yeah.
they want or
Yeah.
need as a requirement for entry. So that was why I also had to think on my feet and see, okay, how can I, make the best of the situation that I'm in right now? And I'm quite happy with where I am because of the experience I get, and also it helps me, just develop as an individual in
Yeah.
knowing that, there's there's always a bigger goal attached to
Yeah.
the works.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. Sure, 8 people. I didn't realize how competitive this thing is, eh?
Oh no, it's very hectic. You know,
Yo.
there's even a group on Facebook for discouraged people. So
You.
it's quite heavy, man, because
Sure.
a lot of people are not aware of this. And I mean, you're getting funding, your parents are spending on this thing, only to find that you may not actually be part of the group that's selected. And sometimes it takes really 10 years of experience finding yourself, learning to be able to even get in, you know.
Okay. And why a business? You started in 2020. Why a business? Why not like join, I don't know, private practice that's already existing, or go to government? I'm sure there's a huge need for your services as well.
Okay, so my experience, my life experience is quite different from others. I think as a black person, I've been blessed with a lot of opportunities. So one being that my mother is a clinical psychologist. So she actually started her business, which is Mbabazi Consulting, in 2002. And she did clinical psychological services mainly with Road Accident Fund. So that's medical legal work where you assess damages to victim, whether neurocognitively and physically, emotionally, and so forth. So I was very involved in her business already from a young age,
Oh, I
already in
see.
high school. You know, it starts with those things of maybe your parents needing help with a Word document or how to create this and this, you know. And so I found myself enjoying being of assistance, and then essentially I did an internship in her organization
I
for me to
see.
be able to be a psychometrist.
I
So
see.
part of the business, there was an educational psychologist, Umama Kabanyane, may her soul rest in peace. And she groomed me, which was nice because she was like a grandmother to me and my supervisor. So she got me, you know, to build confidence in myself, to build knowledge and experience, which is where mentoring and mentorship plays a big role
Yeah, I
as
know it
well.
does.
Yeah, so I had those two powerful women, you know, behind me, grooming me and raising me to become who I am.
Okay, that's interesting. All right. It doesn't sound like it's a business, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't sound like it's a business that requires a huge capital outlay at the beginning. But I'm thinking the equipment that you use, to do all those, there's also softwares and things like that. How did you raise the money for all of those? And please just give us a sense of what is the capital outlay required in terms of equipment and softwares and all that.
My company started small. As much as my mother has her own business, I built my company from the beginning to what it is, you know. So I'm fortunate that, you know, with rental space and all, we were able to share and come to an agreement with that. So that's an advantage that I have. However, when it comes to funding the business, it did require quite a large amount of startup capital. Because number one, I had to have assessment tools, which are very expensive. You might be surprised. Because I mean, one of the entry level assessments is already 30K for the tool. You understand? So the industry is quite an expensive one. Not even just that, but the training required, because you need training on each individual tool, and you continuously need to develop yourself educationally. It's one of the requirements of the Health Professions Council. So one of the ways then that I managed to then get more capital, which was for then the laptops and the assessment tools and the branding and marketing, was through the Gauteng Enterprise Propellant. So that's the GEP. Yeah, so they were very, very, very helpful and instrumental into helping me start school drives and to go out there and get myself known. So they gave me a budget. I don't know if we talk numbers here, but
Yeah,
I'm not too
we are the
shy.
only show that talks numbers, by the way, on this radio station. So numbers are important to us. Yes.
Yes. So
Yeah.
they gave me 50,000 rand marketing funding. Yeah, I mean they control the budget, which I think is good because it allows for responsible spending,
True,
especially as
true,
young people. You know,
true.
you should use the money for
Yeah.
what it is intended.
Yeah.
So they helped me with that. And then there was also the NYDA, which is
Oh, okay.
the National Youth Development Agency. They
Yes.
helped me put my business plan together.
Yes.
And for me, it ended there, but they have, a wide range of other services
Yes.
that they provide. Also the grant funding, which is also monetary funding. It's just that I felt the need to first know what I'm doing and get my own income first before relying on others.
Definitely. It's actually quite, I suppose, heartwarming to hear that the GEP, because we don't really hear a lot of the stories around the GEP,
Oh, they're beautiful.
and
The work is beautiful.
they've been existing for a very long time, as far as I can remember. Also, as someone who's in the small business development space for over a decade or so, so it's really great to hear that the GEP is doing something great, and the NYDA as well is also doing something great. And I'm saying this in the context of the fact that I think your services are needed, my brother, even from early childhood stage. Those things are really needed. Has there been any appetite for going that direction, particularly from the Department of Basic Education or, higher education as well? Because you really cut across all the spectrum.
Yes, so we also do school readiness assessments where we see if a child is ready for entry into either grade one or grade R even, just to see if their developmental blocks are there, are in place, and they'd be prepared to handle, the educational environment. So we are really, we have clients.
That's
Yes,
good.
we have
That's
clients.
good. That's good. I really, really love that. Okay. And when you look at the journey so far, right? How do you come up with, I suppose, new ways of doing things? Like you said, you must always be up to date with what's happening in the industry, changes in the industry as well. How do you do that? Is it like you said, being part of HPCSA forces you to do that, or there's other ways of doing that?
I mean, for the business development side of things, really, it's up to you, hey? Nobody's going to coach you through it, My mentor, as I said, she passed away already once I qualified. So after that, I was sort of on my own. And then, even from the perspective of my mother, she expected that I had more information than her now, because I've just left the education system, you know what I mean? So it's kind of us feeding into each other now. So my development had to be in me making mistakes, me learning trial and error. I'm one person who doesn't say no to something. I take things as a challenge. Obviously, recognizing my capabilities as well, which is important. But the challenges have helped me rise to every occasion, because business is not just the actual work or the report, but there's also in the management aspect of it, communicating with clients, the social media management, the brand imaging, you understand, and even managing the finances, which is a whole other game, involved.
I want to come back to the finances, but do you remember your first client? What was that like?
My first client, I believe, was it was actually a referral, because I had my supervisor, and she was not available, and hence I saw the client. And it's funny, because I actually built a website from the funding from GEP, and to be honest, ever since then, I haven't had much time to do the marketing drives and going to schools a lot,
I
because
see.
actually off of the website I get quite a few calls and emails, which is funny, because I didn't believe in how much or how helpful a website is. But really, just by already having your name out there, I mean, it does half the work for you.
That's great. That's great. Talking about finances then, I'm sure when you started with your business plan and all that, you projected a couple of millions in the next 5 years or 10 years or whatever. You know how these spreadsheets can always be nice, when you're doing spreadsheets and all that. What was the I suppose expectation versus reality. What was that like for you once you started now executing full time on the business?
Look, I had a vision board, and I had a Porsche 911. I had a six pack. I had a wedding ring, and I had a big mansion. And I calculated that, no man, at the end of next year, this company would have generated 5 million in the first, and so 10 million, and so monthly the installments are here and here and here. Boy, was I far off. Was I far off? When I was even struggling with the things I had in front of me, I didn't know how much it was actually going to require of me to build the business. I mean, buying airtime to call clients, traveling. I mean, sometimes I'll even deliver documents, you know, as just part of that value add, go to clients in their schools or so forth, even just the marketing side of things. So, you know, I'm just lucky in my situation that I was working at the same time, which allowed me to balance things. But really, I think you really have to plan and be prepared that if this is something you really want to see growing into the vision that you have, you have to put into it. In fact, you have to pour into it. It won't just do the work. And even though there's a website and all that, I mean, that's only the beginning
That's only the
of
beginning,
it.
no.
You haven't done anything. Just because you have a website and a CIPC document, you haven't even started.
No, you haven't. There's still a long way to go from there
You haven't
and all that. So
started.
how do you then manage finances currently? Are those outsourced to an accountant or something?
Yes, we outsource to consulting. They're like an accounting consulting firm, so they help you know, keep things in check, and they oversee the finances. When starting off, it was a thing of that money would, number one, even come into my bank account. I didn't understand how to separate the two. I just
I
was thinking
see.
of it from a side hustle perspective, as in, you know, this money I can spend, only to be surprised by taxes that I was owing. I didn't even understand that, you know, because it's coming into my bank account, I'd still be owing there. And so, really, that's when you know, I realized, okay, I might actually need help with this thing. You know, if I'm not going to do the research and put the time, at least let me do things right and get assistance. And then I just find that they make things smoother, also because of time. You know, you want to prioritize the clients and the work, you know, the presentation of the work, and the value of the work is really what I prioritize and concern myself with.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Okay. I'm sure there's a plethora of other consulting firms in this space that do psychometrics and all that. What would you say makes yours different from all of them?
I think our focus is really on the youth, and I mean, we're a youth-owned organization. I mean, even the consultants that we do have, well, when they're with us, it's youth, and so really, it's not just about opportunities for ourselves, but we understand the children. You know, we understand because we are generation, I believe, is it X? Do they call us Generation X? So the my 2000s, like, they're really going through it. And
The most.
you know, I feel like we really understand them as the youth, because we can see their pitfalls, but we also understand where they come from. I mean, most of these kids don't want to be in school. They want to be forex traders, musicians, you know, all sorts of things that were never heard of before. And for us to be able to mediate with parents to make us understand their children and understand ways that they can work together for them to be able to achieve, I think is what's amazing about our organization. Is, yeah, we're not your regular company. We're not the average company. And I feel like because we are, you know, still so small, we really give extra. We do the extra work because we want to stand out. And that's why we've been successful through referrals, even. You know, that's the major key to our business, because without our clients, without them talking about us, I don't think we'd still be here today.
Yeah, no, definitely. Those referrals are very, very important.
Yes.
They will definitely build a business. Okay, let's turn to you now. What is your driving force? In other words, what makes you to continue on this journey? What is the one thing that says you're still on the right journey? Don't go and look for a job or something like that. But what drives you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's a deep one. For me, it's really about giving value.
Okay.
The thing about myself is that I'm somebody who really likes to be there for people.
Yeah.
I've been alone so many times
yeah.
in my life, and just understanding that somebody checking up on you, somebody believing in you,
yeah.
Somebody being there to support you is more than enough,
yeah.
especially in the country we come from. I mean,
yeah.
not all of us have somebody,
yeah.
you know. And so it really like motivates me to know that the work that I'm doing actually creates a lot of change. I mean, I sit with parents and their children, and I have a box of tissues on the table, you know,
because sure.
it's really an emotional experience also to learn things about your child and maybe for your child to understand things about the parent. So those kind of little interactions for me are very spiritual, and they give me that comfort in knowing that, okay, I'm doing what the Lord has intended me to do by providing value and being there for people and being a support, you know. Even in the beginning of things and the beginning of the company, my concern was never about money, but actually about building something that can stand,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Something that will last,
yeah.
Not just 1 year, 2 years. I don't want to change the name. I don't want to change the motive behind the organization. I want to build on it.
Okay, that's definitely lovely. I love that. And what's it like then being an entrepreneur and family? I'm sure there's long extended hours here and there. There's cancelled date nights and stuff like that, you know, because you've got this proposal or whatever that you're chasing. How does entrepreneurship affect your family life?
So it's very difficult to balance the two, I must say. Even now, over this amount of time, it has been very difficult. But one thing that I do is I make sure that I do have time for myself, you know.
Okay.
I might be busy the whole week,
yeah.
7 days, but at
yeah.
least you know, that's also the beauty of being in business, is that you can manage your own time.
Yes.
So I make sure, you know, at least maybe once a month go to the spa,
nice.
Or something, you know, type of thing. I do believe in wellness as well, so it really keeps me, yeah, it keeps me going.
Yeah. Okay, and what time do you go to sleep? What's your typical day like?
it really depends how much work there is.
Yeah.
But there's no normal 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, no. And usually I do start my day at a certain time, which would be to be out the house by 8 at
okay.
least. Yeah, maximum would be 8 o'clock.
Mm.
I get into the office until 4 o'clock. It just depends how busy things are. And then even when I leave the office, I always have to have my laptop with me.
Yeah.
Even when I go out, because reports are demanded. And you always want to be available to your clients. You know, as I said, I'm still small, so I really don't say no to things. If somebody needs my help, I avail myself. Even today, my laptop is open in front
sure.
of me
sure.
as we
sure.
speak, you know.
Yeah.
And even doing things like this, being on this
yes.
station right
yes.
now, I mean, it's part of the work.
Yeah,
and
it is. It
you
is.
Know, but we enjoy it. So
it
it's never something like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
you know?
Okay, that's interesting. The one challenge so far in business and running this company.
The one challenge has been time.
Time, okay.
So, yes, yes. I am somebody who likes to live in the fast lane.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I like quick things. And
sure.
A big challenge was knowing that in business, things don't always work like that, especially if it's something sustainable. So one challenge has been me accepting that, okay, for the next 2-3 months, there might not be even one client, one phone call, you know, but being able to still put in the work, even though that is happening, has been a big thing for me. But it's that continuous progress and attacking of my goals that has actually brought other opportunities during those times. So hence, even part of our other services is writing reports for other practitioners as well. And really, I just believe when you are actually passionate about what you're doing, you don't even have to think about it. You just continue working and the opportunities avail themselves. I mean, I don't believe I've had to chase or run down clients for them to walk through my practice, you know, and it's been beautiful to see it grow like
definitely,
that.
Definitely. Do you, so do you like super cars? Are they called super cars or those fast cars?
Yes. Look, I'm a lover of nice things.
Yabawel. So which one's your favorite?
Me? I'd have to say, because I had a BMW M4, which I really enjoyed. I had to let go of it because I realized there's different things I have to prioritize. And it was a beautiful experience. But I loved the financial mistake for the period that it happened. But then I'm also glad that I grew out of it. So for me, I would really love to have a Porsche. For me, it's about, I think it's classy, you know. It doesn't have to make noise or, you know.
Listen.
It's a quiet, peaceful, timeless peace. And I hope to see myself there soon.
when you say Porsche, you don't have to explain. You got me, because that's me there, right there as well, in a Porsche. That's where I want to be. So
if you get it, you have to call me.
No, we're going for a ride. You and I, whoever gets it first between the two of us, right? We're going for a ride. So definitely. And like I said, I mean, it's a Porsche. You don't have to explain anything. Once you say Porsche, people will get it and say, yeah. We get what you're saying. F1, what's your favorite?
I would have to go with Mercedes.
I thought you were going to say Ferrari.
I would have to go with them. I have to go with the movement. Our guy is there. You know, I'm behind him.
I get it. get that as well. Okay, challenge. You've mentioned the challenge. And what is the one moment that, you know, as you reflect back, has been the most satisfying, most satisfying so far?
I think in seeing the children getting helped, because we also help students get placed in schools. Maybe if they have a learning channel, they might go to school for autism or so forth. And I don't think people understand how difficult it is to, as a parent, to go through all of that. Just even finding the placement is another challenge on its own.
Sure.
You know, the department has its own challenges as well, the Department of Education, but gladly so they we are able to communicate to them when there's misunderstandings or when a parent does need help and intervention. So it has been great to be able to be able to assist the Department of Education also by providing our services and therefore resultantly helping parents.
Lovely So as we draw to a close, then, if you were given an opportunity to go back to 2021 and you start all over again, what would you do if you were to start all over again in this business?
If I had to start all over again, I would have spent more time in varsity finding the right group of like-minded individuals. I think I spent too much of my time playing around when I had free time, you understand? And and actually once I started my career, I actually got to see how many brilliant young students there are in these universities, and you know, to allow that time to have been misused is one thing I would have liked to change.
Fantastic. But I think it's never too late, isn't it?
Yes. No, we already repeating that project. We collaborate a lot with individuals. I mean, even the websites and things, because I choose the service providers and things. So we always support the youth. We love them, and we communicate easily and understand each other, you know. Yeah, we also need space
Yeah, definitely.
in the market, you know.
I mean, I think the what is it? The proverbial pie is big enough for everyone, right?
Understood. Well,
there's no need for us to even fight for space and all that. It's big enough. We can all share. I just do think that some people need more Christian principles of sharing because they can be quite greedy.
Yes, that's actually one thing. You know, I loved about entering business was that. I was thinking that I had to compete with other companies that are providing these services. However, there was really no need. There's more than enough clients, and you have something different to offer people. So just be yourself, man.
Definitely, definitely. 5 years from now, what's there still to do?
5 years from now, I would love to expand the business into other provinces. So I'm already starting with Eastern Cape.
Nice.
We're looking into getting more clients, and the education that side, you know, it's very under-resourced area. So they are in the need of a lot of help. So we're trying to position ourselves very well to be able to provide our services that side. So it's off to a good start. And once that happens, I think Career Moves will, you know, start being involved, more involved in the community outside of the office, you know. I'd really love to see, you know, a billboard or two, or, you know, more articles or something about Career Moves. Not about me, but about Career Moves and what it does.
Okay. Where can people find your services, your social media? Where can they follow you? I mean, I've already followed you as well, but where can people go?
Okay, so that's www.careermoveswithaz.co.za. And then on Instagram, we're at careermoves with a Z. And we're also on Facebook at careermoves with a Z. So that's us. We're on socials. Mainly, the best way to get a hold of us is emails or calls.
Yeah,
we're always available and able to answer. Otherwise, that's us, and that's how you reach us. We're also based in Pretoria, which is 84 Soutpansberg Road, Riviera, Pretoria.
Definitely. There are young people that are looking up to you. What would be your one message to them, particularly those that want to maybe get in business as well?
I think that you really have to look at your life in terms of a goal. You have to have major goals, and you have to have little goals that, you know, are going to make you feel like you're achieving. There's no point in pursuing something where you don't know how, where, when it's going to happen. But when you have a goal, there's definitely no way you are going to miss, because you're actively in pursuit of that. And even if you don't reach the goal, you might be surprised how close you were to the goal. And so part of Career Moves is making other people understand that they need to set goals, they need to have a plan in order to be able to achieve those goals. I mean, it's a very simple blueprint. I've watched 1,000 motivational videos. And I mean, everywhere it's mentioned that you need to have a goal, you need to have discipline. So it can't be a lie. It can't be something, a scam or what. It's the truth, you know.
Fantastic. My brother, we wish you nothing but the best. And I'm pretty sure that we'll be checking in with you in more as well to see how things are going. But we wish you nothing but the best as Business Sense. And we hope that God will enlarge this business and your territory as well. And we'll check in once again.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir. Good luck on the push.
No, we're going there. We're definitely going there. But I appreciate that. Sir. Yeah, have a good one, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you to your listeners.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Ubudizwe Limqhayi talking to us about his business, that is a Career Moves there. They do psychometric assessments, right? And school readiness programs. I think those are very important, so that at least as a parent, you know your child in terms of any gaps that might be there. And more importantly, getting someone who's a professional to help you put those gaps into some sort of way of closing them, because you want your child, of course, to succeed. Thank you, Zweli. Really appreciate your time.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.